2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by good folks over at DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Go to the website, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST when trying to select whether you'd rather do the monthly or the yearly subscription. With that subscription, you get 24/7 access to our Slack chat channel and access to the Domination Station, which did it again last night for another one of our NBA customers. Along with that, you can use it for PGA, MMA, all sorts of things like that. Once again, come to DFSArmy.com, use the promo code PODCAST, and we'll be here waiting for you, folks. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. So, 13-game MLB slate today, which is wonderful. But, of course, Mother Nature pounding down on my roof today. So, we got a couple games we got to worry about.
I hate to sound selfish here, but better you than me now. I've been absolutely just plummeted the last, like, I haven't thrown a baseball in a month, it feels like. And, of course, I start to get a little testy when I don't have my Sunday morning baseball games. My wife is anxiously awaiting the news of how the field looks today so she can get her husband back to a normal day. So I'm starting to get a little bit of cabin fever there. Even though I go out and I do things, not having my baseball is kind of tough. So
well that's going to depend on how the Broken Arrow Recreation Department drainage system has working to maximum capacity. So yeah, it's all in their hands.
It's actually Tulsa.
Okay.
But yeah,
it's me trying to know my Oklahoma geography.
Come no on kidding, right? But yeah, it's gonna take it's very, very questionable and up in the air. I've got extreme confidence, but that's because you could tell me it's got an 80% chance of rain, and I've got extreme confidence that you're wrong too. So, all right. Don't mess with me when it comes to me and my playing of baseball. I generally will not agree with your analysis as far as the weather is concerned. I always am thinking that, you know, there's going to be a chance to play.
Per our own Chapadong, it appears that the Mets-Marlins game has already been postponed. Now, this is
damn
via Chop, via Twitter, so I got to get confirmation on this one. But by the time people listen to this one, they will have already known. So this is just, you know, this is a day in the life of breaking news to the MLB Daily Dispatch news desk, if you will. So if that is the case, that'll knock us down to 12 for the moment, but we still got a couple other games that we got to look into. Let's see here. Yeah, Chapadong just filling in the people. Hey, everyone calm down. Everyone calm down. All right. Well, let's begin in on the game so far. Well, let's begin on the games that we know could have a chance this evening anyway. We can begin in Baltimore, and of course, this one has some rain threat. It is on the East Coast. We've got Miguel Gonzalez, the righty, going for the White Sox, and Wade Miley, the lefty, going for the Orioles in this one. Now, as I mentioned, got a little bit of weather concerns here. It should be fine to start, but beware of rain late in this game. So probably around the, maybe depending on the speed of this game, maybe like the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, something around there. You could have about, I don't know, 40 to 50% chance of rains there. Also going to have about 14 to 15 miles an hour wind blowing out to left field in this one. So with Miguel Gonzalez, he's a former Oriole. He's familiar with a lot of guys on this team. Overall this season, pretty good numbers, 3-1, 3.27 ERA, 1.33 whip. I mean, you know, for Miguel Gonzalez, those are pretty good numbers. When we talk about Wade Miley, he's actually been very good this season. One of the better top point per dollar pitchers out there in the league. 1-1 with a 2.32 ERA, 1.26 whip. He's only allowed more than two runs once in his five starts this season, which is a great thing to look at. The one thing that is kind of killing him right now, though, it's walks. He's got 19 of them in 31 innings. And, of course, his opponent, the White Sox, tonight are among the teams striking out the fewest against left-handed pitching this season. So, again, with the weather, probably not going to have any interest here, but anything that pops out with you from these two pitchers here.
Is it that? I mean, really, honestly, with the pitchers, hell no. Actually, I say that. If you want to do a full game stack of Coors, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit, obviously, but if you want to do a full game stack of Coors, with the way that the Orioles have been hitting, now I understand they kind of put up some runs yesterday, but, I mean, come on, that was Kyle Kendricks. For those Kendrick. Of you that... Kendricks. I can call him whatever I want, since how he's a former Rocky as well.
He's an initial Philly though, so
I don't care.
Your roll with your ownership.
I never said I owned him. That just doesn't.
Sounded like it. It
with the like shit it. That he put up in Colorado, I can call him whatever the heck I want.
Okay.
He was much better in Philly.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, who isn't, right? Chase Utley.
Chase Utley will never don a Rockies uniform. So, anyways, with the way that the Orioles have been hitting, you know, it's an offense that has the potential to be explosive, but they're not like that right now. Yeah, they hit right-handed pitching better than left-handed pitching, but if you want to do a full stack of Coors on DraftKings, I mean, Miguel Gonzalez is only 5.6K, and if he goes out and just gives you five innings, five strikeouts, and two runs, I mean, that could help as long as Coors goes off.
Now, here's an interesting game theory, right? So we saw this last night with the Mets Braves, where they start the game, and of course, it doesn't get all the way in. You get zeros because the game actually never happened. So you might have. I don't know, this sounded a lot cooler when I was thinking about it initially, but I got to go through with the thought anyway. So if this game does go quick, right, and it is an official game, well, that means that the pitchers did pretty well. Like, you know, the game was moving fast. There were a lot of runs. If it doesn't go fast, that means that they were one of them probably got clobbered over the head. So, you know, you don't even want those points anyway. I don't know.
I'm not seeing any weather concerns in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's late in the game for this one.
Really? I've got a no higher than a 15% chance of rain. Unless you go to 11 o'clock and then you get a 21% chance of rain.
Don't be busting up my weather report, my friend. It's on the paper for a reason.
No, that's fine. I'm just saying we have conflicting reports, so we're going to have to look into this a little bit more.
Yeah, I got 78% chance at 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock, 68% chance. There is rain on the back end of tonight in Baltimore.
Did you do this last night?
No, I did. I'm looking at current stuff right now.
Wow. Okay, yeah. We've got major conflicting weather reports here. So this is something that we're going to have to really, really, really look into. It says a ton of. This is what Roth said, and we're working on getting our own guy. It says a ton of rain in the morning with a good pocket of clearing this evening. If the forecast stays on track, we should be between two systems with only a few isolated sprinkles. Green, yellow, with winds south at 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusta up to 25, blowing out to left center. Never mind on the pitchers. Lock and load on the hitters. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, see, again, I don't have that much wind. It is to left center, at least that part's okay. I'm looking at actual, like, time, like 7, 8, 9 o'clock on the graphs and the charts and everything. So, all right, whatever. We'll worry about the weather because it'll get there when it gets there later. But a couple numbers to look into BVP-wise. Todd Frazier, 5 of 15 against Miley. Melky Cabrera, 6 for 12. Giovanni Soto, 4 of 9. So those are all good for him. Miguel Gonzalez has done a decent job of holding down Mark Trumbo, Seth Smith. Although Trumbo does have 2 homers against him. He is 3 and 10 against his career. But the rest of the Orioles haven't really faced Gonzalez that much. Point being, as I mentioned, he used to pitch for the Orioles. So keep that in mind. Yeah, if that wind ends up being a factor, that'll certainly play there. Although left-handed batters against Miguel Gonzalez this season are having slightly more success against him, but you know the numbers aren't exactly terrible for righties either.
Chris Davis in this matchup.
Yeah, although he can't hit the broadside of a barn.
He's never been able to hit. He just hits for power.
Yeah, well, you know, it's explosive lately. Going into last night, I believe he was like 2 for 19 with 11 strikeouts. I turned that game off incredibly early last night.
You missed a good one.
You missed the
5th inning where they went for like 5 runs or something like that. Seth Smith 2-run double to tie the game, and then Manny Machado just went absolutely completely yak.
I saw in the highlights.
3 home runs on Lansdowne Street in the series. Like, I mean, Manny doesn't. Huh?
It's a great street.
Yeah, Manny didn't want to leave Boston.
He did not. Except
for the fact that he keeps getting thrown at. But
as long as he can wear full body armor in Boston, he's cool. Massachusetts. So Chris Davis 2 for his last 21 with 12 strikeouts. So. Hey, maybe the kid needs some home cooking, eh?
I mean, yeah, he usually performs better at home, so I kind of like this spot for Chris Davis, especially since the wind is blowing the way it is, because he can go oppo.
I wonder how the Orioles are going to go, moving forward now. So they finally got that win, I believe the first game of the series in Boston, the last one there. So I'm just kind of wondering what their spirits are going to be like leaving Boston. Are they going to be able to get up for this matchup tonight against the white variety of Sox, not the red one? But I don't know. I mean, that was just such a highly emotional series. Like, can you see them having a little bit of a letdown here?
No, I actually think that they're going to carry it into the next series. I think this is going to be a really fun season or series to watch over the weekend, and I think it's going to put the White Sox in a good test because Wade Miley has looked like a completely different pitcher this year than he has in the rest of his career. Now, granted, it is Wade Miley. We have to temper our expectations, and there is a chance that he could go absolutely just completely apeshit and blow up, but I think this is a good test for this White Sox team with the way they've been performing. Because other than the Diamondbacks and the Rockies leading the West and the NL West, the White Sox have to be the biggest surprise of the first month of the season, no?
Yeah, sure.
I mean the way that they've strung wins together and the way that they've pitched, they have the lowest collective ERA in baseball.
Wow. Impressive.
So.
Impressive. One guy to look out for tonight, especially Jose Abreu. He's got 4 homers in his last 6 games. So keep that in mind. Todd Frazier, the pride of Toms River, New Jersey, has been swinging the bat a lot better.
Or he might not be in the lineup. He was scratched early, or he was scratched late yesterday. If Matt Davidson takes over his spot at third base, that's a really, really good value play at third base.
All right, look out for him, folks. All right, anything else from this one?
I kind of like Seth Smith. He's 3.6K. I know that's a little high on DraftKings for a guy that, we normally think of as a platoon player, but he's not a guy that, Buck Showalter pitch hits for a lot. So he's... against righties, he's in the leadoff spot and he's performing pretty well. So I really do like him. Jonathan Scope is sneaky at the lower part of that lineup. He's 3.8K, but he's got some power. He can go double dong on you. So a mini stack of maybe Davis and Scope isn't out of the question either.
All right. All right, let's take it to Philly. This one, heavy rains on the East Coast today, but again, this one should be fine. Everything I've seen, you know, has this one playing. So it's the Nationals there at the Phillies. Steven Strasburg, the righty, going for the Nats, and Nick Pivetta making his second major league start. The right-hander going for the Phillies in this one. So Strasburg has actually faced the Phillies already this season in two starts. He's got a 3.21 ERA against them. He's given up 10 hits, 5 walks, 5 earned runs, and he's had 16 strikeouts in 14 innings against them this season. Pivetta, of course, no history against these Nationals. Just made his last made his MLB debut the last time out. That was at the Dodgers. Give up 9 hits and 1 walk, but managed to only allow 2 earned runs in 5 innings. Also had 5 strikeouts there. The Phillies let him go 91 pitches. All right, so probably going to have a lot of Strasburg love today since you're going with these Phillies. They haven't exactly made life easy on him this season, or, you know, over the course of his career for that matter. He could be a popular play. Not a bad fade tonight for your GPPs, but now, we had conflicting reports here. I think you've got a little bit of interest here in Pivetta, and I'm not sure how he's going to do tonight against this amazing Nationals team.
Well, it's an amazing Nationals team that might not have Bryce Harper in it.
Still, they've got some amazing pieces there.
I understand that, but it's an amazing Nationals team that might not have Bryce Harper in it. And you're telling me that now Jason Worth is losing Bryce Harper is protection against a righty. Okay, well, there's, you know, 2 slots I don't have to worry about quite as much. His price is intriguing at 4.7K. I can stack the hell out of Coors with Pivetta in there. I have a little bit of interest. It's only because of the multi-entering. I mean, he's got a K percentage right now of 21.7, a walk of 4.4. He didn't look bad. That was against.
He allowed, 10 base runners here in 5 innings? And
yeah, I mean, he had a whip of 2.
The Dodgers didn't, you know, and by the way, the Dodgers that day didn't have, like, their top lineup in there against Pivetta. That should be known either or as well. But again, it's a young pitcher. We really don't know much. So
exactly. And it's not that, you know, it can't blow up in your face, but it obviously can. But it allows you to come. It's a shot, and nobody is going to pick on. Yeah, no, nobody is going to do this. So, give me 10 points at 4.7K, and I'm happy. And I think he's capable of doing that. Right. He showed a lot of gumption. You know. Stranding runners. Granted, he had runners all over the place, but the guy's not going to pitch to a 2.0 whip the rest of his major league career. I expect.
God, I hope not.
No kidding, right? You're gonna feel bad. I expect that number to come down. And if you're telling me that this is going to be a watered down Nats lineup, now, granted, they're still good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that just because Bryce Harper is out of the lineup that this is not a good, you know, good hitting ball club, but it's not nearly as fearful if Bryce isn't in that lineup.
Definitely not. All right. If you want to pick on him, you got a couple Nats bats that are a little hotter than most at the moment. Of course, Ryan Zimmerman over the last 6 games, 3 doubles, 3 homers, 9 runs, 13 for 24 in that span. Matt Wieters is 6-12 over the last 4 games with 3 homers. Michael Taylor has actually been a nice surprise, and he's not a bad value play at all tonight. 9 for 19 over his last 6 games with a double, triple, 3 walks, 4 runs. So keep that in mind. And he's also had 2 stolen bases in that span as well.
Yeah, he's running.
And he is running.
That's odd to me because of where he's been in the lineup. Because if... Okay, say Michael Taylor walks, he steals second. Now you're pitching to Brandon or Matt Wieters or Jose Lobaton or whatever.
Right.
I mean, if that puts runners, if I'm in a close game, then I can walk the catcher to get to the pitcher spot. Like, yeah. You don't see a lot of, like, a lot of the base stealers, they usually come out, you know, towards the top of the lineup. You're not seeing a lot of these guys stealing bases in the bottom of the lineup because it allows, especially in the National League, it allows pitchers to pitch around the eight-hole hitter to get to the pitcher spot. So that's one of the shocking things to me. Now, if Bryce is out, what I could see happen is Michael Taylor being moved up to the one spot and Trey Turner moved down back to the two spot and then just slide everybody else up before Matt Wieters and, you know, slide Jason Worth back down to the six hole.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that the Nationals have been able to do this season is, you know, since Ryan Zimmerman's just been absolutely smashing, they don't have to go Harper and Murphy back to back anymore, which exactly allows the left-handed reliever to come in there. So that part is good, and that would certainly hurt the Nationals in a way right there. But we're going to have to wait and see. What exactly happened with Harper yesterday?
Quad contusion or something like
that.
Oh,
here we go. Groin. I see right here.
Yeah, it's a quad or a groin or anything. We got some guys that actually left their games yesterday that it really sucks because they're in amazing spots today if they're in the lineup.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting to keep, in mind here moving forward with Harper on the day. Again, we're doing this here 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central at the moment right now. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. As for these Phillies, not the greatest BVP numbers here up against Steven Strasburg. Freddie Galvis, 4-23. Odubel Herrera, 3-17. Cal Franco, 3-14. Tommy Joseph, Cameron Ruff, both 2-9. Speaking of those two guys right there, Tommy Joseph, Cameron Ruff, I like the way that they've actually been swinging the bat lately. Probably not the greatest matchup here to use them against Strasburg, but, you know, if you want to probably have a couple more Coors bats tonight, I wouldn't mind going with either guy there. Both guys hit the ball pretty well in Chicago over the week, so keep that in mind. Cesar Hernandez he had a great game yesterday. Pretty good last couple series here for the Phils, but 7-22 is Cesar Hernandez against Strasburg with 2 doubles, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. You know, again, typically a lot of guys really aren't going, or a lot of fantasy owners really aren't going the way of Cesar Hernandez because he's kind of in that no man's land price point. But today we see him at 2,900 against Strasburg, so I like that.
Is that on FanDuel?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's find out what he is on DraftKings. He's still 3.4K on DraftKings. I mean, nice. He's playable. Don't get me wrong. I like that play. I like Cesar Hernandez. I don't think I don't think it's a bad play.
I'm looking a lot like Odubel Herrera is the most expensive Philly today on FanDuel at 3,100, Franco 3,000, and then the slide starts all the way down. So
yeah, you've got the top four hitters are at least 3.4K. Saunders is 3.3, and then Stassi, you know, they're affordable. Yeah. Maybe mix and match. I think that Strasburg's ownership percentage is going to go up as the day goes on. I've already heard some people say that they aren't going to play him, which is fine because I'm not going to play him. I just never play Steven Strasburg, and if he's the guy that beats me, then so be it. But I can't do it. I can't pay that much for a pitcher with Coors on the slate. And it's not just the fact that Coors is on the slate. It's who's pitching in Coors today. So
your boy, Lady Hair.
He doesn't have Lady Hair anymore.
But still, he had it at one point, and that's how
he pitched better with it.
Let's see here. So, yeah, Strasburg against the Phillies this season. He's had 8 strikeouts in both games, but, kind of like mirror starts of one another, actually. He went 7 innings in both starts against him. Gives up 2 earned runs in one, 3 in the other, and then, 8 strikeouts in both. And he did not get the win in either. So that's kind of why his point total looks the way it does if you're looking at the game log there. So, the Phillies do not make things they don't make things easy on him ever. So that part is good about it. All right. Any other bats in that one, or we're moving? We're mobile.
We're mobile.
mobile. All right, let's take a look at the Milwaukee Brewers at the Pittsburgh Pirates. This one has a chance of rain tonight, 60 to 70% throughout the night in Pittsburgh. So keep an eye out.
I hate that, too.
For that one, Jimmy Nelson, the righty, goes for the Brewers, and Chad Kuhl, the righty, going for the Pirates. Nelson has really struggled over his last three starts at Chicago, at the Cubs, at home against the Cardinals, and at home against the Braves. He's got a 2.11 whip and 13 earned runs allowed in his last 15 and two-thirds innings. Chad Kuhl, he's having his own set of struggles overall this season, 1-2 with the 6.26 ERA, 1.74 whip. He's been particularly bad at home with a 14.85 ERA in two starts, but keep in mind, one of those was that disaster of a Monday night against the Cubs where he gave up 9 earned runs. Regardless,
bad.
not too interested in this one. Left-handed hitters in particular against Kuhl have been mashing. 425 average and the strength of 17 for 40 against him. Last season, left-handed batters hit for 301 against Kuhl. So this is the definition of a trend, my friends. So not many BVP numbers against Kuhl there. But again, if we're taking those notes into consideration, Travis Saw, Eric Thames, who's been struggling a little bit here of late, Jonathan VR would be pretty good targets there. For the Pirates, I mean, they do have a little bit of history here against Jeff Nelson, and it's mostly good. Andrew McCutchen, Josh Harrison, both 6-for-18 against Nelson. And then on the other side of things, you've got Gregory Polanco at 5-for-22, and then Jordy Mercer at 2-for-17. I know we're going to have rain in this one, but any sort of light interest barring that?
If it clears up a little bit, maybe, in Jimmy Nelson. I don't have any interest in Chad Kuhl.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the forecast for this one, it is rain all day, all night for Pittsburgh.
I don't have any interest in Chad Kuhl. Oh my goodness gracious!
Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's because I don't know. The weather is just so sucks because normally I want guys like John Jaso, Gregory Polanco, Josh Bell in this spot against Jimmy Nelson. But I also like the Eric Thames, Travis Shaw little mini combo as well. But how's your boy Hernan? I mean, you can't play. If you had a chance to choose VR at 4.3K on DraftKings at second base or Hernan Perez at third base outfield at 3.4. Is that even a choice right now with the way that they're going?
I don't know. But again,
or Domingo Santana in the outfield at 3.2K. What I'm saying is there's options here for the Brewers against Chad Kuhl. But whatever you do, make sure it includes Eric Thames and Travis Shaw.
Okay.
I mean,
VR. Yeah, again, the whole lefty, all those numbers there against Kuhl are pretty indicative. I used those same numbers against Kuhl that night against the Cubs. I had Miguel Montero, Anthony Rizzo. That I didn't have Jason Hayward, but that was a night that they all just completely went bananas. So, I mean, I understand that's the Cubs is the Brewers, but hey, Brewers have been better this season.
The and Brewers again, are one of the better offenses in the National League right now, too.
I am fully aware of that. But yes,
our listeners might not be.
But yeah, if those left-handers want to have a chance to hit tonight, Mother Nature will need to cooperate. So
exactly. I also wouldn't be surprised if this game gets called. So I really wouldn't.
All right. Let us go to the next one here. I believe this is going to be. Did you find anything about the Marlins Mets yet?
Evidently that was a tweet from last night or something or whatever, and Chop was wrong.
Okay. Fair enough. Did not see that. All right, so we'll talk about the Miami Marlins at the New York Mets. I will say, though, that there is a 50-60 chance of light rain and drizzle throughout this game. 12-15 mile-an-hour winds blowing out to left field. Now, I am in Freehold, New Jersey, which is about, we'll say, I don't know, hour and a half away. But, you know, that's just because of traffic and whatnot. We're pretty close to New York City. So, you know, it is absolutely pounding with rain right now. On my phone, it says the rain should stop around like 3:30 around here. So not exactly sure how that's going to play out tonight. But again, within the forecast, it says light rain drizzle throughout the night. So you just have to wonder, you know, with the all the rain that's happened already and that going on tonight, you got to wonder how, you know, how the grounds crew there in New York is going to play this. It's just it's rained pretty much all throughout the day. So let's take a look at the game anyway. We got the New York native Tom Kohler going for the Marlins and Rafael Montero, the right-hander for the Mets, making his first start of the season. Now, Montero, he came out of the bullpen pretty much all season, but with these the Mets in desperate need of rotation arms, he's going to get a chance at it tonight, weather bearing. Not sure how much we're going to see of him tonight, you know, just based on the fact that this is his first season. But the one thing that I do know about Montero is he is quite an electric pitcher, but walks and control have long been an issue of his. Same goes for Tom Kohler. I like his stuff. I think he's a good pitcher, but you know, this is a guy that the Marlins are not giving a long leash to right now. I just can't think about using him right now because even his quote unquote gem starts have been six innings so far this season. So, I'm not going to get too all excited about either guy here, but, you know, the winds blowing out to left field are certainly exciting.
Yeah. I was looking at his pitch profile. Looks like he's got a fastball at 94, and we're talking about Montero here. Fastball 94, sinker 93. It mixes in a slider at 84 and a change at 88. That's not a big difference between that fastball and that changeup.
Yeah.
So there better be some movement. His slider results in more fly balls compared to other pitchers' sliders and has a short glove side cut. He's only thrown 10 changeups. And let's see what his statistics are. Montero, he's got 11 innings pitched and 9 earned runs this season.
I think one of those appearances was against the Phillies, and it was either 4 or 6 earned runs in that appearance. That, you know, he's had 2 really bad performances out of the bullpen this season that make up for all that.
And so, you know, I'll have to do some looking, because I want to know when his last appearance was. I want to know how long. Did they send him down to the minors to extend out? Or is this going to be a bullpen day? If it's a bullpen day, I'm stacking up the Marlins and I have no qualms about it. But if Montero has been down in the minors and he's thrown a couple appearances down there and reached like 85, 95 pitches, I don't have quite as much interest in the Marlins currently, but I haven't dug into Montero's pitching profile yet, like greatly. So,
all right. Yeah, I believe because he hasn't pitched since April, 19th. So I'm pretty sure that he was down in the minors trying to fix some things. If he wasn't, I'm sure he was just doing like a lot of side bullpen work, you know, in hopes of getting him ready for this. So I know I should probably be on top of all this stuff, being the anti-Mets man of the world. But whatever the case is, I don't think it's going to be good for him tonight. Again, we got to watch out for the weather. That could put some sort of, clout or, you know, doubt on this game. So, again, we just got to watch out for that. But it appears that all bats should be good to go in this one because – You know, on the other side of things, we look at Tom Coler. Now, I mentioned he is from New York. He's from the Bronx, which is, you know, basically the other side of this this Mets team there with the Yankees being in the Bronx. But against the Mets, 1-7 with a 5.54 ERA in the last 14 starts. So they certainly have his number when we're taking a look at some BVP here. Travis d'Arnaud has the best outlook against him. He's 7-for-17 against him, which
I think he went on to disable.
God
this.
Damn it! All right. Well, it's
He's got a wrist ailment that the Mets aren't.
That had to just happen recently, right?
Well, he had a wrist ailment and he missed like three games, but he pinch hit in all three of those games, and then he was in the game and he left the sixth. He started the next game, left in like the sixth inning, and then missed the last two games. So I don't know if they've put him on the DL or not, but I know he hasn't played in the last two games because of the wrist.
Okay, he's not, all right. He's not there yet, but it's a possibility.
So
it says. All right.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel as better, but whatever. Asdrubal Cabrera, Jose Reyes both have good history against him. Neil Walker, 3-for-10. Michael Conforto, 2-for-10 with the homer. Curtis Granderson, 7-of-30, 2 homers, 7 Ks. Granderson's actually been hitting a lot better lately. Him and Jose Reyes must have went to the same school of hitting, but to revive their careers. But good for both of them. Let's see.
Okay,
here.
Let's try to say this without some disdain. If they're left-handed and they're batting in this Mets lineup, you can play them.
Sure.
Jay Bruce, Asdrubal Cabrera, you know, Michael Conforto, Neil Walker's been hitting better from the left side of the plate. Curtis Granderson, Jose Reyes. There's a legit chance that the top six, depending on what lineup the Mets put out, and we never know that because they're idiots, but that Tom Coler's legitimately could see 6 left-handed batters to start the game.
Yes. And by the way, that is not a good thing for him this season. Lefties against Coler this season are 16-for-40. That's a .400 average if you're not a math whiz. But in those 40 at-bats, 3 doubles and 5 homers against him.
With
so
3 of them
this
coming
season.
Against, or was it 3 or 2 or 3 of them coming by the massive forearms of Bryce Harper. He got him. Remember, it was like the first series of the year. He got him like twice in the same game, like back to back. One was a 3-run home run, then the other one was like a 2-run shot or something like that. It was huge. But Bryce Harper owns Tom Coler, and left-handed power bats in general own Tom Coler.
Yes, and Vegas already has all this in mind. They have this as a 9-run total tonight. So
yes, and with the temperature and these pitchers on the mound, yeah,
there you go. All right, well, we've done our work for that game, so let's pull it to down to Tampa for this one where we know we're going to have baseball. They have a roof. I've been there. It's arena baseball. It's the Blue Jays. It's the Rays. Francisco Liriano, the lefty, goes for the Jays. And Chris Archer, the righty, going for the Rays. One thing about Liriano, we know, he does have immense strikeout upside against this Rays team. But, you know, unpredictability is certainly not one of his predictability is not one of his finer qualities.
What do you think his ownership percentage is going to be tonight?
4.
You think it's going to be that high? Because remember this.
Well, yeah, because he got so much rain. So.
Remember this. His first start of the year, he was 55% owned. He was chalkier than Chalk McChalkerson,
right?
And just absolutely bombed.
Poop.
Same team, maybe
same
minus
setting.
Same setting, exactly the same. The only difference is that the Blue Jays don't have Troy Tulowitzki and Josh Donaldson. But what is better now is they're starting to hit a little bit better.
Yep.
I don't know if he gets above 4, but if we're talking 4-5, I've always said, give me a 4-5, under 5% Francisco Liriano every single time. He is the absolute definite. If you look and see GPP pitcher in the dictionary, the DFS dictionary, you will see a picture of Francisco Liriano. Because he can go out and walk 10 guys and just absolutely completely blow up.
Poop town. Yeah, now he's faced the Rays twice this season. Once, of course, the one we just alluded to. But he did face them in Toronto. That was a pretty good start. So
I owned him that night.
Yep. He should, you know, everything is there for him to do well. Again, which Liriano are we going to get? That's always the big question.
Here's the problem. You have probably one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now. They moved him up to the top of the lineup.
Mr. Beckham?
Yep.
Bending it.
And you have Evan Longoria, who's got over a 300 average against Liriano. That is the only thing I'm really, really – and, well, I mean, you've got Ricky Weeks and Steven Souza Jr. I mean, this is – when you look at it, this is overall not a great matchup for Liriano. But with that said, he does have the capability to go out here – and absolutely shut these guys down for seven innings.
He does. He does. Yeah,
and
again.
You can stack Coors and fit him in.
All right. Interesting.
But you have to go to, who is that? I think you have to go to Miguel Montero.
As he said.
Or Rafael Montero. I've got, and this, yeah, I've got Rafael Montero in there now. So you could go a full stack of Coors, and you could go Nick Pivetta, Herman Marquez, which you wouldn't do if you had a full stack of Coors, or Rafael Montero. Those are your three. I'm going to go with Nick Pivetta.
All right. All
right. I don't recommend this for the faint of heart, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. On the other side of things, we got Chris Archer, who has just absolutely phenomenal BVP numbers against the good majority of this Toronto Blue Jays lineup. You know, Bautista, Pilar, Smoke, Goins, Martin, Travis, Pierce all have just infinite numbers, infantile numbers against Mr. Chris Archer. A lot of strikeouts there as well. Bautista, 10 strikeouts in 55 plate appearances. Pilar, 9 strikeouts in 36 plate appearances. Smoke, 10 strikeouts and 31 plate appearances.
There
Goins,
was, we 31 were talking about Smoke. 30,
or I'm sorry, 6 and 32 plate appearances.
We were talking about Smoke. Smoke isn't as bad.
That was after that one show.
No. We were talking about Smoke before the show. And completely here's the reason why I don't think. Okay. Yeah, I probably did. But here's the reason I don't think Smoke is such a bad play. One, he's a left-handed power bat. Yes, he does have a lot of strikeouts, but, you know, you kind of accept that. In 31 plate appearances, he does have 8 hits. Now, 7 of them are singles. But here's why I say this. In 13 batted ball events, he's got an average exit velocity of 94.4.
Ooh!
That is absolutely killing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that Justin Smoke isn't quite such a bad play, especially since not a lot of people are going to have him.
Sure.
I mean, I would like to see him in that 6 hole maybe and not hitting directly behind Kendrys Morales. Because I will have some exposure to Kendrys tonight because of his BVP. But I guess it's not a bad mini stack. Crap, you can't stack them. They're both freaking first basemen on DraftKings. Never mind. I just wasted about 5 minutes of our time.
Yeah, well, it's okay. It'll certainly happen again. I'll be the one guilty of it. You know, we'll rotate.
Yeah, so. Oh, my goodness.
Son of a bitch. All right, so let's see. With the rest of that one. You mentioned Jays have been hitting a little better. Of course, Yankee Stadium helped them out a little bit, but, you know, not totally. Got to keep that in mind. They were pretty good against a great Yankees pitching staff, and I say great. They have been great this season. Now, with Chris Archer, he does have 4 quality starts, 6 tries this season. You know, peripherals are okay. He has thrown at least 102 pitches every start, which is good. But you got to take a look at his strikeouts here recently. He's only posted 5 of them in 4 of his 6 games so far. The other two, you know, that was typical Archer that we know. But only 5 strikeouts in 4 of 6 games so far for Chris Archer. That is not the Archer that we know. It's kind of reminding me a little bit of Vince Velasquez right now, where he's pitching, you know, more, I don't want to say, you know, with his quality starts, but he's being a little more efficient now, where he's not necessarily going for the strikeout.
We just got this matchup on Sunday.
Yeah.
This exact same matchup. And Archer pitched pretty well, 7 1/3. Doesn't look like he got the win. You know, like you said, yeah. 5 strikeouts, but Baltimore against righty, you know, Baltimore's actually kind of owned him over the years.
Yep.
You know, Boston doesn't strike out a lot, and then the Yankees actually don't strike out a lot against right-handed pitching either. So part of the K's is matchup, but, you know, on FanDuel, I can see, you know, give me 5 to 10 K's and give me 6-7 innings. So I can get that quality start and a chance for the win. On DraftKings, I don't think I really care. I still think he's fine because he's not 10K. Mm-hmm. What is he on FanDuel? He is 96 on FanDuel as well. Yeah. So I like it better on DK than I do on FanDuel just because, well, I like it better. Actually, I like it better on FanDuel than I do DK because I had to do a double take because I forgot that you get knocks for hits and walks on DK.
Yes. So, yes, and I will be playing FD2 tonight, fantasydraft.com. Love the site. But, yeah, that certainly comes into account as well. So, which we'll get to another pitcher, which you like very much, and I kind of do, but we'll talk about it when we get there. All right, let us get to St. Louis Cardinals at the Atlanta Braves. Lance Lynn, the right-hander, is going to go for the Cardinals, and Mike Foltynewicz, the right-hander, going for the Braves. Now, we've got 40 to 60% chance of rain up until the start of this game. We could be looking at a delayed start, but, again, keep that in mind here. Delayed start, not that bad, but you know, it would have something to do with the pitchers here. All right, so there are 12, 13-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to right field, as if this field needed any aid with any of their hitting. Let's take a look at the pitchers here, because that's what we always do at the start. Lance Lynn, he has won and had a quality start in each of his last 3 starts. Everything's looking pretty good here. 3-1 record, 2.45 ERA, 1.09 whip. He's only allowed 2 earned runs over his last 19 innings. Way to go, Lance. Welcome back. Mike Foltynewicz, solid peripheral numbers here, 2.81 ERA, 1.21 whip so far this season. He has allowed only 2 earned runs or fewer in each start this season, and he's got 15 strikeouts in the last 13 innings that he's pitched. All right, that's all great and dandy for the pitchers, but this ballpark, especially with the wind blowing out, is probably something that we don't want a part of.
Here's the issue, it's cold.
Okay.
You know, the wind's blowing out, but it's not as warm as it has been. So is it really going to play as small as it has been playing? It's colder. I don't want to say it's cold. It's colder. I don't know. This is one of the things I don't like about, you know, new ballparks now and us playing DFS and trying to analyze these things is because all of this data that we're getting it for the first time, and we don't really know how to interpret it yet. I do like both Lance Lynn and Folty tonight. I think they're both in really good spots. If this was in St. Louis, I wouldn't mind pairing them up against each other on DK or, you know, multiple lineups and rolling them out there. It looks like Lynn has been extended. He had trouble getting out of the 6th inning his first 2 starts and then popped it off with, you know, at least 6 innings his last, 3, I think is what it was. Yep. this Braves team, though, right now, my goodness, they can hit. Freddie Freeman, Brandon Phillips, Nick Markakis, Ender Inciarte, Matt Kemp. I think they're all in really, really, really good spots tonight with the wind blowing out. I don't know if I would stack them. I think I would do like a couple mini stacks maybe or some one-offs because I don't see the the Braves scoring, or I don't see Lance Lynn giving up a ton of runs. Now, that doesn't mean that the bullpen can't come in and light its gas can on fire like it has in previous games, but right now, you know, I'm looking at Lynn to go three innings, maybe one or two walks, five strikeouts, and maybe two runs.
All right.
I mean, it seems like it's pretty reasonable. If you're on DK, you're looking at, you know, five to seven hits, maybe. I really, really, really don't think that we get over 7-8 Ks from Lynn today. I think he's a great, great, great GPP option to pick on a hot team right now. But if you do it, I would do it with the top of that order. And that'd be about it.
Yeah. You got to have interest in both pitchers, just giving off everything. But again, you know, of course, the ballpark just makes me somewhat nervous. I understand the atmospheric conditions and whatnot.
Oh, it makes me nervous too. But I'm willing with it being if this was 75 degrees, there's no chance. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to take a shot with it being 50 and getting colder as the night goes on.
All right. If you're gonna go up against Lance Lynn, now, you know, here with the Braves hitters, you know, just know that lefties are hitting 294 against him this season, while you got the righties there at 125. So again, if you want to use that metric to it, take Ender Inciarte, who is 2-for-13 career off Lynn, but he's a much better hitter now in his career than he has been in the past. Of course, Freddie Freeman, maybe a Nick Markakis, guys like that would be interesting.
Don't skip Matt Kemp. And I say that because he's crushing right-handed pitching right now.
All right. Let's see here.
I mean, it's not to Freddie Freeman level crushing right-handed pitching, but it is pretty damn good, and I think a lot of people are just going to kind of skip over him just because it's a right-on-right.
All right.
And that's one of my favorite tournament tactics, by the way, is taking right-handed power bats versus right-handed pitching.
Yes. Well, yeah, with certain guys, you know, because there are plenty of pitchers out there that have the reverse split.
Not just blind.
Indeed. Oh, man, I'm having some nasal issues over here. Hope everyone doesn't hear it. Yeah, if we're looking at Cardinals hitters here. Colton Wong's been pretty interesting, even though he's hitting at the bottom of that lineup. Got a couple extra base hits over the last five games.
27 on DraftKings. I don't mind. I don't hate that play at all.
Jed Jerko, Stephen Piscotty.
Piscotty's on the DL.
Jesus Christ. What?
And hold on. Before you say anything, Dexter Fowler left the game yesterday and went and got an MRI. So, with the weather in the Midwest, the way it's been, you know, like it was 80 degrees a couple days and then it was like 45 degrees. So I can see where a lot of these guys are coming up with soft tissue injuries, and strains and stuff like that. So I just asked Chop, you know, what they're going to do. I know Piscotty's on the DL for sure.
Happened today.
Yeah, that happened this morning.
All right, good. I'm not an idiot, people. Not an idiot. Well, kind of, but not really.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I guess they could throw Jose Martinez out there. They could throw Tommy Pham out there if he got recalled. If you remember, Tommy Pham was actually – he won the job in center field out of opening day last year and then got hurt like the fourth or fifth inning or something like that and then was on the DL for 2 months and then never kind of reclaimed that spot. Then of course they go out and they sign Dexter Fowler. So that could be an option.
Yeah, it's Pham. They recalled him.
Okay. So depending on what they do with this lineup, I'm either going to have you know, a little bit of interest in Fulte, or I'm going to have a whole lot of interest in Fulte. Because other than Matt Carpenter, unless they throw Matt Adams out there, which they really, really could,
mm-hmm.
I could see them doing that. Left-handed power bat, we know that right field's been playing small here. I don't really think that the Cardinals are going to score a lot of runs and beat me. I think people are going to jump over the edge at this total, considering it's a 9, and I don't think it's worth it.
Okay. All right. Something to monitor throughout the day for sure. All right, let's head on over to Minnesota, where we got the Boston Red Sox up against the Minnesota Twins. Eduardo Rodriguez, the lefty, going for the Bo Sox, and Phil Hughes, the righty, going for the Twins. Erod, been pretty solid here, 2.70 ERA, 1.24 WHIP. Last two times out especially have been pretty good here for Erod, although I would like to see the 7 walks come down a little bit over his last two starts. But he does have 16 strikeouts in that, 108 pitches in each of those two as well. So, you know, that is good that the coaching staff is letting him go that deep in.
And all this right, Red Sox team is, or bullpen is beat up after yesterday with Kyle Kendrick starting. That was really all I had to add to that, since you were talking about Eduardo Rodriguez.
Good, all good. We like the Nuggets.
Well, I'll really add on Eduardo here in a second, but I'll let you finish.
Phil Hughes, his 4-1 record so far this season is the result of great run support. As you can see,
yeah.
The 5.06 ERA, 1.43 WHIP are quite indicative of that. He does have 2 quality starts and 5 tries, but
it's
again,
Phil Hughes.
Yeah, the thing is, now here I understand Phil Hughes, but these Red Sox bats aren't exactly mopping up the joint either. So, you know, again, not saying take a shot on Phil Hughes tonight, but probably, you know, ease your cool on some of these Red Sox bats. You had
this
a point
a
about Erod. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, this is a Red Sox team that just got shut down by Tyler Wilson for 5 innings or 6 innings yesterday. So,
boy, don't be that mean to him. Jeez.
I'm not. I'm speaking the truth.
I don't know.
They're kind of beat up a little bit right now. I mean, when you got Josh Rutledge, who's your de facto third baseman right now. Now, granted, he's hit a little bit better, you know, but he's your de facto. Huh?
I was going to say, he had a single that I saw with my own eyes last night.
Yeah, and he had 2 nights ago, he came in and off the bench after. Was it Marco Hernandez got hurt in the first inning, the top of the first inning? He came in, and even after the error, the throwing error, which he tried to make a good play, it just didn't work out. He had like a 2-run double his first at bat. So, I mean, he's hitting the ball, but it is still Josh Rutledge. He was a top prospect coming up with the Rockies. He actually was slated before the emergence of DJ LeMahieu, he was slated to be the starting second baseman and paired up with Tulo there. But this is Phil Hughes, and I know they're not hitting right now, but this is way too good of a lineup to not be hitting. I mean, you've got Xander Bogaerts that's got a .056 ISO versus right-handed pitching this year. That's not going to continue.
Yeah, Bogaerts been hitting a little better here of late too. But he's
just
you
not
know
for
double
power.
Digit. Yeah, double digit fantasy points in a lot of his last couple games. So
that among. Yeah, Dustin Pedroia's got some major BVP here. Major.
Major.
The best one of some of the best BVP that I've ever seen. And so that is, and they moved him up to the top of the lineup, and he got his first home run of the season yesterday.
Yay!
So, Eduardo Rodriguez, what I was about to say is I've been playing this guy now for, it was the latter half of last year after they started giving him some more leeway. They fixed a couple things in his delivery, and ever since then, he has been very, very good. He's making the turn. He is going to be a front end part of the rotation type of pitcher for this Red Sox team by the end of the season, as long as he stays healthy. he's good. I love Eduardo Rodriguez tonight, even though it is the Twins. Let's see here. The problem is we've got wind blowing out to the right at 13 miles an hour. That sucks. Why has it got to be so damn windy? But we saw it yesterday. Jarrell Cotton, even though he allowed a couple solo shots in the first inning, he actually performed pretty well. He was the second best pitcher on the day slate, right behind Max Scherzer. So,
and if you read Walsh's Way MLB DFS notes yesterday, you would have known that Jarrell Cotton is Dayman, Fighter of the Nightman.
And he was the second-rated pitcher on the in the DFS grades in the day slate. So
look at that, the tag team effort. Now, by the way, Jarrell Cotton in the daytime, that is the one guy you must use going forward. The guy is amazing in the daytime. Him and Michael Fulmer, who is pitching at night tonight, both daymen, Fighter of the Nightmen.
Yeah, there you go. So, but you know, if you're running out, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, you know, 10, 50, 100, whatever. I think you kind of have to stack the Red Sox against Phil Hughes. I think the only reason they're not going to be talked about as much as they should be probably is because they're not hitting home runs. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Okay. I didn't know if like my thinking was off or not. So
nah, it makes sense. All right, now. We talked enough about here about these Red Sox bats. Now, if Erod is going to run into any trouble, it could be with Brian Dozier, who actually has done pretty well here in his short career against Erod. He's 4-for-6 with 2 dongs, 2 walks, only 1 strikeout. Miguel Sano, one of the hottest bats in Major League Baseball, cooled off a bit yesterday, so he'll have to watch out for him as well. Couple other bats in the Twins lineup now. I'm not sure what they're going to do here because they're another team that could, you know, just completely shift what they do with the lineup. But I know Kenny's Vargas has been hitting pretty well lately. Escobar over there as well. But again, we're going to have to see, especially since the lefties coming into play here, what Minnesota does with their lineup. So
yeah, I normally like to play Kenny's Vargas from the left side of the plate. I don't like him facing righties. He's not quite as good. But I'm looking right now at – where is my bullpen? There it is. Bullpen usage, because, like I said, the Red Sox bullpen is beat up. Oh, wait. No, they're not. Well, kind of, sort of. They will – the only lefty that they'll have in their lineup, Fernando Abad threw 16 innings yesterday – or 16 innings, 16 pitches. Looks like Ben Taylor and Brandon Workman actually came in and did a respectable job. I think after Kyle Kendricks, they kind of just said whatever. But they've got some lefties available, so I would probably not play Kenny Vargas tonight because he could see 4 at-bats from the right side of the plate. So, and if he beats me from the right side, then he beats me. But you know, I'm not taking the chance of that happening. So.
Fair enough. All right, let's get into the next one here, and I like this pitcher tonight for the Cleveland Indians, who are going up against the Kansas City Royals. Danny Salazar, the righty, going for the Indians, and Jason Hamill, the righty, going for the Royals. Now, Salazar, he's had his struggles this season, 4.43 ERA, 1.38 whip, but he is going up against the Kansas City Royals, who are dead last in batting average, runs, OBP, and pretty much every offensive statistical category that has ever existed. However, they are only 22nd in strikeout rate against right-handed pitching this season. Hopefully Salazar can work a little bit of his magic because he does have 42 strikeouts in 29 innings this season. That's at least 6 strikeouts in every start and at least 9 strikeouts in 3 of his 5 starts this season. Jason Hamill on the other side. Oh, things could be so much better for this man. 0-3 with a 6.65 ERA and the 1.94 whip. Now, of course, Salazar, the cream of the crop in this matchup, but do you like him overall tonight?
Yes.
Good.
Maybe like not as the top pitcher. I still don't really know who my top guy is, but I do like him a lot in this matchup. I just if Derek Holland can shut these guys down for what did he throw yesterday, 6 2/3 or whatever it was.
Yep.
I don't see any reason why a more talented pitcher at this point in his career can't go out and have some extreme success.
Yes.
So.
Well, yeah, and again, that's the thing. You know, the one thing that does worry about me about Salazar is Salazar, because he has shown a couple struggles this season. But I am hoping to God that
walk the bases loaded and allow a grand slam in the first inning.
Hoping to God that the Royals can help my boy out a little bit here. Now, just based on how the Royals are hitting and everything that we said, we just got to hope that Salazar goes out and does his thing. I kind of like the Indians' bats here, too. Now, I know that Kauffman Stadium isn't exactly Disneyland for hitters, but everything that, you know, Hamill has shown this season is, you know, everybody is hitting him, both sides of the plate, at whatever stadium.
He had one good start against the Giants, and that was it.
Well, that is the Giants, but everything is just adding up for these guys to finally do well. We know that the Indians are becoming the modern-day version of the modern Baltimore Orioles so far this season against left-handed pitching, but against right-handers, it's a different story. So I think that they're in for a huge night tonight. You don't have too many BVP numbers to look at, but I think all your guys are in play here, from Carlos Santana to Francisco Lindor, Jason Kipnis, Michael Brantley. Like, everybody here can do pretty well tonight. So the one BVP thing that sticks out is Edwin Encarnacion, who is probably the one Indian who I don't have any interest in. He is 7 of 18 with 3 homers against Hamill in his career. But, you know, come one, come all for the Indians tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things that you have to understand that, you know, Jason Hamill right now does not discriminate between, you know, righties or lefties. I mean, Jason Kipnis is probably the only guy that I really, really wouldn't be too, him and Yan Gomes, too excited about rostering. I love Lonnie Chisenhall tonight, Jose Ramirez.
Yep. Forgot about my boy.
Edwin, Brantley, Lindor, Santana. I love them all. The problem is that they are also, besides Lonnie Chisenhall, all over 4K on FanDuel or on DraftKings. So fitting them in with Diamondbacks or Rockies is and having decent pitching options around them is not going to be easy. I mean, and FanDuel, what are you doing? Why is Lonnie Chisenhall the same price as Edwin Encarnacion?
I just saw that.
Holy Jesus.
Jason Kipnis, 2,800.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Jason Kipnis has not hit so far this year. Like, he's not been good. But
he should stop doing his MLB.com dirtbag commercials.
But with that said, it's still Jason Kipnis. Like, he's going to be fine by the end of the year. Unless he's hiding an injury that we don't know about, which is always a possibility with guys. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. I don't mind picking on Jason Hamill. And Jason Hamill used to be my sneaky GPP play all the time, because he just, he would go out there, he'd get you seven, eight strikeouts, throw 6-7 innings, you know, but then John Madden got in his head, so.
Joe Madden,
whatever.
Or he was playing too much PS4. Now remember, you know, we really like Jose Ramirez when the Indians are slated for a big night, because this guy is just amazing with runners in scoring position. So again, with everything that we said with Hamill and how he's been and how we expect the Indians to do well tonight, this should be a huge RBI night for Jose Ramirez. I understand he is not cheap, but I might be playing him, I don't know, probably over on like fantasy draft where, you know, he's not going to be as expensive and everybody's kind of all crunched into the same price points.
So. I think he's probably going to be your default third base option outside of Coors.
Okay.
And Manny Machado.
All right. And if you're going to, of course, if you're going to one-off any Indians tonight, I would certainly recommend him.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean more towards stacking him, but you're absolutely right. if he is definitely on the upper end of that of the one-offs if you are going to do it.
Very nice. Okay, and for the Kansas City Royals, just run as far as you can.
Don't play Royals offense.
Yes, don't do it.
Don't.
Unless you like hurting yourself. Okay, Arizona Diamondbacks at the Colorado Rockies. This is the offensive main event of the night. For the Diamondbacks, we got Zach Greinke, the right-hander, and is it Herman Marquez?
Herman Marquez. Yes.
There we go. See, the G is silent. All right. Let's talk about Zach Greinke, because the Rockies usually hammer him, but he didn't have such a bad outing the last time out. Did give up 7 hits, 2 walks, and 6 innings against them, but he did give up 3 earned runs, all of those solo shots. Did have 9 strikeouts on 107 pitches. Did get the no decision there. Now, we only have 2 starts from this season to dissect Marquez on. One of them was not so good. Yeah. Hey, what are you looking at my notes, bro?
I'm a Rockies fan. I live it.
He was Saturday against these same Sunday? It was actually Sunday against these same Diamondbacks. It went pretty well for him too. Only gave up 6 hits and a walk, no runs, 8 strikeouts against these guys on 97 pitches. Does get the no decision because he got 0 run support. The other one that was bad, he faced the Nationals. That one was at Coors Field. He got rocked for 8 earned runs in 4 innings. Take your pick of which Marquez shows up tonight, but I have a feeling we're going to see plenty of runs. You know this rivalry better than anyone, so take it away.
I'm more leaning towards Rockies than I am Diamondbacks. Like, if I was making 10 lineups and you told me I had to have exposure cores in all 10 of them, it would be like a 60-30 or a 60-40 towards the Rockies, just because of their history against Greinke and the fact that Herman Marquez did just shut down these guys in at Chase. Now, back-to-back starts against the same team is usually not a recipe for success for rookies. Nope. But with that said, I've talked about it a lot. These rookies that are coming up for Colorado right now, they're not afraid to pitch at Coors. And I would say, I think it's safe to say that the Diamondbacks offense, although good, mind you, they are good. I'm not discrediting them. They're not the Washington Nationals. And that was his first start of the year. You know, going up against those guys, it was anticipated. But, you know, I don't think we see the same guy that we saw in Arizona, but I don't think we see the same guy we saw against the Nationals either. I think it's somewhere in between. I could see him throwing 5-6 innings, allowing, you know, 4 runs, maybe a couple home runs, but it's this game is going to go depending on the offense of the Rockies. Carlos Gonzalez left yesterday with a calf strain, so he may or may not be in the lineup tonight. So that's something to watch out for. The reason why it's something to watch out for is that takes away some damn good history against Zach Greinke. You know, but it's we got Ian Desmond back. You know, he hit 2 home runs over the weekend. You know, this is still a very, very good team. But the positive side of the Rockies bullpen is one of the best in baseball right now. And it doesn't matter if they're in Coors or if they're in Chase or Petco, they are good. Except for Adam Ottavino yesterday walking the bases loaded. So if the Rockies can get to Greinke and we're looking at to where we have a positive situation in the later innings, then the Diamondbacks are done. They're not going to be worth the money that we pay for them. But if the Rockies take a little time to get to Greinke and the Diamondbacks can knock Marquez out of the game in like the 3rd, 4th inning, and this is like a 5-1 game, then we could end up seeing one of these offensive firework games, because the back end of that, besides Archie Bradley, the back end of that Diamondbacks bullpen is not something I'm afraid of either. And yeah, the negative side of the Rockies bullpen is not good right now.
Yeah, it's funny. Even closer Fernando Rodney for the Diamondbacks, who, by the way, just became an American citizen during the week.
Congratulations.
Yes. His delivery is like, I don't know, man. Like I can tell that he has no idea where these pitches are going, and sometimes they just go right down the friggin' middle. So,
well, the problem is not his delivery, it's his grip, and the way he throws, it creates a lot of movement. But the problem with that is if he doesn't get on the side of it, it causes it to flatten out. Well, pitches tend to flatten out a little bit more in Denver than they do in any other ballpark. So, like, we've gotten him before and he's gotten us before. He's been in the National League West now. He was with the Padres the beginning part of last year, and with the Marlins when they came back into town. So, like, we're familiar with Rodney. It's just, his changeup can start at a left-handed batter's hip and end up at the right-handed batter's feet if he's got it going. But the problem is you just never, ever, ever know.
Indeed. All right, so I'm looking at some of the prices here for FanDuel. I did not take a look at any of the other ones, but if you're there on DraftKings, chime in here. But, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, 5,200 on FanDuel. AJ Pollock, 4,900. Jake Lamb, 4,600. Yasmani Tomas. I mean, those are probably your upper echelon. But just if we're talking about Diamondbacks right now, I mean, we're probably going to get Herman out there tonight. But even if Iannetta plays, he's 3,000, which is completely affordable. Chris Herman there, 3,200. I think that's probably your best value tonight out of the Diamondbacks. For the Rockies, like DJ LeMahieu, 3,600 is affordable. Trevor Story, 3,700 is kind of ridiculous. Gerardo Parra, 3,800. I mean, they're not priced up so high that you can't get a piece. I mean, Ian Desmond, who still is 1-16 against Greinke career, even he is at 4,100. Like, these guys aren't untouchable tonight. So you can certainly get your exposure in some ways here to Coors Field.
Yeah, especially on FanDuel. Now it's a little bit harder on DraftKings. Paul Goldschmidt's 55, Pollock's 52, even Chris Herman's 36. It's a little bit harder there. You've got Nolan, who's 54, Charlie, 51. Cargo's 5,000. And a guy that we have not talked about, his numbers will not show up that well this year. In fact, he's got a negative DFSA grade versus right-handed pitching this year. Play Trevor Story. just play him. Like,
yeah,
he just owns him. He absolutely owns Greinke.
I witnessed it with my own eyes last week.
Yeah, in the beginning of this season, and just play him. So
now I'm looking. I just went over real quick to Fantasy Draft. Again, it's insane the price. Like, they just refuse to put anybody out of the stratosphere. But over there, like, everybody's kind of lumped into the same, like Goldschmidt 10-8, Arenado 10-4, Blackman 10, Pollock 10, Lamb 9,900. So if you want to have some fun tonight, and pretty much like literally game stack with having some decent pitching over there, definitely try some fantasy draft tonight. Could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Any other, side notes we're looking at from this one?
No, I think that's good.
All right. Yes, in terms of BVP against Greinke tonight, Carlos Gonzalez, who we mentioned, watch out for with his injury coming out last night. Charlie Blackman does have good numbers, 11 for 36. And then Trevor Story is 5 of 12 against Greinke with 3 homers and a double. Yeah. Keep that all in mind. All right, let's go to Detroit Tigers at the Oakland A's. A matchup of two very good pitchers here. Michael Fulmer, the righty, and Andrew Triggs, the righty, going this one. Fulmer for the Tigers, Triggs for the A's. Fulmer, quality starts all 5 times out, 2-1, 3.19 ERA, and the whip is right at 1. A good thing for Fulmer here, the A's suck, and that is evidenced as well by their 6th highest strikeout rate against right-handed pitching there at 24.5%. Triggs has just, you know, aside from one start versus the Mariners, he has been remarkably good here. 4-1 to 4.148 ERA and the whip at 0.92. He has not allowed an earned run in 4 of his 5 starts this season. The one that he did, though, was against the Mariners, and that was just ridiculous. Indeed. Not much BVP history for either side against either pitcher, which is pretty cool. But I will say that if you're going to, you know, take the plunge and go with hitters in this game, right-handers are getting to both pitchers here. So, you know, they both got reverse splits there. Right-handers against Triggs this season are hitting .274, while lefties are only hitting .087 against him. And on the opposite side of things, Fulmer's allowing a .297 average to right-handed bats. And it's only a small sample size, but, you know, since Fulmer's rookie of the year was last year, but right-handers hit better against him then too. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. Now, I understand that one of the best pitchers on the night, according to DFSA grades, lies in this game as well.
Yes, absolutely. Andrew Triggs just pops off the charts. And he has all season, but the more he continues to do this, the more he moves up the rankings. Like, you know, normally you see rookies and they'll be towards the end, the bottom, maybe if you're getting good, the middle. He's been up towards the top every single time. And he's the number 2 pitcher on our sheets today. Like, and it's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a huge competition, but there is a larger gap between the 2 and 3 starter of Yu Darvish than there is between the 1 and 2 of Dallas Keuchel and Andrew Triggs.
Interesting.
So, I mean, he's got the lowest whip on the board. He just doesn't walk people. He's got one of the lowest walk percentages on the board. His swing strike rate is middle of the road. It's not elite, but it is middle of the road. You know, he's got one of the highest ground ball rates, which is always good in Oakland. The problem, he does have a good fly ball or a high fly ball rate, but you don't have to worry about that in Oakland. He's got
wind is blowing out tonight, but again, it's still tough to get it up out of there.
Yeah. He's got one of the better hard contact rates. Now he does have one of the lower soft contact rates, but that's just because he allows a lot of line drives. So, I like Andrew Triggs tonight, and I don't want to say free or cheap, but he is relatively cheap. He's only 6.7K on DraftKings.
Yeah, even on FanDuel at 7.8. So
yeah, see, so he is not a bad play tonight, in my opinion, at all.
You're looking for, you know, ways to get plenty of Coors bats into your lineup. This is probably the most efficient way to do it, where you go with Triggs, and then honestly, it's really your pick. I mean, of course, you're gonna need value plays all over the joint. Well, I shouldn't say all over the joint, but going with Triggs as opposed to Dallas Keuchel tonight, who is in a good spot. You know, that it's a savings of $3,000 on FanDuel, $2,900 if you want to be a dick about it. But, you know, this is the premier way to go tonight. And again, Michael Fulmer, who is still a very good option going up against the A's, you know, just on the other side of the field, He is, what, 1,600 more expensive than Andrew Triggs. So, yeah, I'm really liking Triggs myself tonight. And, you know, it's tough to go against the DFSA grade with how good it's been lately. Triggs was ranked among the high – I believe he was the highest pitcher on Saturday when he was going up against the Astros. And yeah. He absolutely crushed it then as well. So.
Yep.
All right, so we just gave you all that, so it's kind of tough to like Fulmer any more than Triggs. But again, he is going up against this A's team who actually kind of broke out of their shell yesterday against Gibson, who in just a remarkable case of just similarity was optioned to AAA after his start yesterday. So. Take it for whatever it's worth, but the A's did go bananas yesterday. So,
yeah, they did. I had A's all over the place, and they're one of these teams that shuffles their lineups around a lot, so we got to pay attention to that. So, obviously, you know, Chris with the K is in play. So it just watch and see what the lineup is. It's so hard to talk. You know, speculative, because we really honestly they switch this lineup around so much that, you know, there's hardly any idea of knowing exactly what they're going to do.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Andrew Triggs. All right, let's get to the other game here. Well, there's a couple.
There's three more.
Yeah, there are three more. What did I skip over?
It's easy, though, because there's a couple of them that don't have a lot going on.
Indeed. This one, Houston Astros at the LA Angels of Anaheim. Dallas Keuchel, the lefty, going for the Astros, and Jesse Chavez, the righty, going for the Angels. So 2015, Keuchel is back. 5-0, 1.21 ERA, .81 whip, quality starts all six times out, and he's gone at least seven innings in each start this season. Faced the Angels back on April 19th, got the win, allowed one earned run, but I will note that he did give up a season-high eight hits. If we do know anything about Keuchel, he does have those massive home road splits over the course of his career, so if you are crazy and you do want to get to him, you might as well do it while he's on the road. The verdict is still out here on Jesse Chavez, who is 2-4 with the 4.50 ERA and 1.43 whip. Did have a quality start against these Astros back on April 17th. He also induced a season-high 13 ground ball outs in that outing as well. The reason I say the verdict is still out on Chavez, he's had two very good starts this season, but he's also had four that made us say, huh? So we've got that to deal with here. So, again, with Keuchel, you really like Keuchel tonight. I believe he has the highest DFSA grade tonight.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Keuchel, and I like him a lot. I don't care that he's on the road. This is an Angels team, especially if Mike Trout's not in the lineup again. This is an Angels team that could – you know, put out a very, very bad line. They're not good anyways, but they could put out a very, very bad lineup again. I know it didn't work out quite as well as we thought it was going to last night. Mm-hmm. Miranda kind of struggled and kind of labored through a lot of that game, but that does not mean that it was a bad play or a bad move. I'm still willing to go back to it, and I will be having some Dallas Keuchel tonight, and I'm going to be trying to do everything I possibly can to fit him in with Coors.
Very nice. Now, let's see here. Not like, you know, everything works out pretty well for Keuchel here. The BVP for a lot of these Angels is not good. Mike Trout, who is even 14 for 38 with two homers against Keuchel, has 12 strikeouts in 44 plate appearances. Albert Pujols, also 7 for 34 career against Keuchel, 8 strikeouts. Cole Calhoun has 8 strikeouts against Keuchel. I think you're sensing a trend here with some of the bigger names here up against Keuchel. Although Yunel Escobar is 4 of 11, but you know the damage has been limited. It's been 3 singles and
great.
A double.
Great. He can hit a couple solo shots, and you know we'll all win.
It is all good here, but let's talk more about these Astros bats because I do have some interest here. Now,
they pissed me off yesterday. Oh,
granted all that, you know, with is going on inside Keith's mind, but keep in mind right-handed hitters are hitting .323 against Chavez this season, and they do have four homers from that side of the plate against him as well. So this could be a nice spot here for Jose Altuve, who is 7-22 career against Chavez. Marwin Gonzalez, you know, he'll be hitting lefty against him if he's in the lineup tonight, but he has just been all world. I believe five homers in his last 15 plate appearances, if I'm not mistaken.
What's his price?
Let us take a look at Marwin. He is 3,000 on FanDuel. I like that dynamic pricing.
Marwin Gonzalez. He is 33 on DraftKings. Let's just go ahead and throw this out there. If Marwin Gonzalez is in the lineup, I expect him to be in David's Free Square article this afternoon. Like, and he's his ownership is so low too. I've just been playing this guy. Just continue to play him.
Yeah.
You know, he goes on these runs. Is he going to hit 40 home runs this season? No. But can he go on these hot streaks that, you know, he hits 10 home runs in 14 days? Yes, he's in the middle of one. Ride the price. If they continue to not put his price up there to make you think about it, ride it. Throw him in with some Coors and have and count the money at the end of the night.
Yeah. Last five games that – well, let's even go six. Last six games that he started, here's his FanDuel point totals. 16, 24.7, 25.7, 50.9, 31.4, 34.2.
Yeah. He's playing – he's hitting the ball hard and far, and that usually translates into fantasy points.
Indeed. Five multi-hit games in those last six starts as well. Of course, what do we got here? 1, 2, 4, 5. Oh, it's six homers. Okay. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into.
Yeah, it's five straight days, and the first day of this was – or five straight games – and the first day of this was a double dong.
Yeah, Stella Founder Groove in Cleveland. Very nice. Very nice. Okay, well, that does it for that. Any other Astros bats besides that guy?
I mean, are they playing? I mean,
they are.
Carlos Correa looks like he's finally healthy. He's swinging a hot bat. Josh Reddick, if he's in this lineup, is going to be a good option for us. You know, he should be either batting the one or two hole. I like him. Brian McCann has been hitting the ball really well, from the left side of the plate. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of interest here. So I think this could be one of the sneakier stacks of the night because not a lot of people like to stack these late games. You know, they'll go as far as, you know, we saw it last night with the Mariners. They'll go as far as stacking Coors. And then after that, you don't see a lot of stacks. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see one-offs here or pitchers, but you don't see a lot of stacks. So I always love especially on Coors slates, you know, go get some Coors. You're going to – the first, let's see, hour and 35 minutes before Denver kicks off, or throws their first pitch at 7:40 Central Time, you're going to be, like, at the back of the pack. But if Coors goes off, you're going to move up. And then if your late stack goes off too, holy God, you're just going to rock it. Like, exactly. So I always love when stuff like that happens. Now it's hard to watch at the beginning because you're like, damn it, I'm falling behind, I'm doing this, and then you see the lower ownership than you were expecting on the Coors Field guys, which last year has kind of been like that, and you're like, all right, now we just need to get these guys going. So
yeah, indeed. All right, two more games left to get to. Let's get to it. Texas Rangers at the Seattle Mariners. Yu Darvish, the righty, goes for the Rangers, while Yovani Gallardo, the righty, goes for the Mariners. Darvish, 3-2, solid peripherals, a 3.03 ERA, 1.06 whip, quality starts in four of the last five outings, and he's had at least eight strikeouts in three of the last four. Well, that's all great, but he does take on a hot Mariners hitting team here, and they're going to need to do work in overdrive tonight since Giovanni Gallardo is on the mound. He's just been absolutely terrible. 1-3, 5.08 ERA and 1.55 whip. Really not much to say about this guy. He just sucks bad. Rangers guy's probably going to hit. They're a nice option tonight. For the Mariners, though, not too sure, how I like them in this matchup, but you do have some good BVP numbers there against Darvish. Kyle Seager, Robinson Cano, and Danny Valencia have all hit him pretty well, despite not going yard against him at all in over the course of their careers. So, I don't know. Anything to add for this one?
I'll have one. I'll probably have a little Mariner stack in there. But I'm not gonna try to go all balls out, and it's just because they have hit him good, and this is an interdivision rivalry, so we see these pitchers and hitters, the BVP kind of holds a little bit more weight inside the division, so there is something there. So, yeah, I don't mind the Mariners stack a little bit, but it's definitely not one of – it's a sneaky, like, low-owned 2% qualifier stack. So, it's like, so off the radar that only stupid people like me will actually do it.
No problem. Hey, I just wanted to put this out there for Darvish. In three of his last four starts, right, so he's got – if we're looking at FanDuel totals here, now keep in mind these are against the Angels and the Royals, but 61 back on April 13th, and then we're looking at April 23rd, he goes for 52, and then his latest against the Angels, which was April 29th, he goes for 52 FanDuel points. So he's been racking them up. Good for him.
So he's due for a blow up.
I mean, let's hope so, right? I really don't know which way people are going to go with pitching tonight, but again, I'm sticking to my usual single entry train, and then of course, I'll throw in a couple GPPs here and there, try to get rich in one shot, but for me, again, rolling Triggs and Coors, so
there you go.
We shall be there. All right, let's just go to the last game here. We've got the Padres. Let's see, the Dodgers at the Padres. Kenta Maeda going for the Dodgers and Julio Chacin for the Padres. Both righties in this one. Maeda had his best start of the season last time out. That was against my Philadelphia Phillies, so he can go F himself. Eight strikeouts in seven innings, two earned runs. That's on 100 pitches. 101 pitches. He gets the win in that one. Also working for Maeda tonight, the Padres have the highest strikeout rate against right-handed pitching this season at 25.6. We're looking at Julio Chacin. He's shown the ability to pitch well twice in six starts this season, but I am not having a feeling that this is going to be his third one. He faced the Dodgers back on opening day, and they ate his lunch for dinner. He allowed eight hits, two walks, nine earned runs in 3 3/3 of an innings. Dodgers have really had his number over the course of their career. Yasmani Grandal has only been the one of mention. I'm sorry. Him and Adrian Gonzalez have been the only one homering against him worth mentioning. But
Jack Peterson hit him for a grand slam on opening day, though.
Okay. Let's see. Adrian Gonzalez, Puig, Utley, Turner all have very good numbers against against Chacin.
Yeah, a lot of Adrian Gonzalez's numbers are back when Chacin was with the Rockies. So some of those could be Coors inflated, but it's not saying that he still sees the ball well. Jock Peterson should be coming off the DL today. That's from everything I've read. He's ready to go. Okay. He'll probably be back in the lineup. That means Chase Bellinger or whatever his name was. I forgot his name already. But Bellinger's probably out now. He's probably going to get sent back down to Oklahoma City. Don't mind even Justin Turner. I mean, the Dodger stack is it's a lot sexier than the Mariner stack is, but it's a lot more obvious as well. Now, how many people are going to be going to it with the total of 7.5 and being in Petco? Probably not a lot, but as we just saw, you know, you get a bad pitcher on the mound in Petco, there can be some runs scored.
Indeed.
Especially since that this ballpark does not play as extreme of a pitcher's park as everybody seems to continue to think it does. Oh my God, we have Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez on the exact same set, sitting next to each other in suits.
This happened. That happened actually a couple days ago, and apparently that guy, like, it was supposed to be an interview about, you know, all the, like, charity work or whatever, and this guy completely, like, he just, like, completely, like, went at them, like, asking them questions, like, is this why you guys didn't get along, blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of a hack job, if you will, in the industry. God. Or a bombardment.
So. These idiots.
Indeed. All right, so I guess that's that'll do it for us here on today's show. I know Keith and I both got a lot of written material to get out there to the people today. So hope you enjoy the podcast. We will be back at you on Monday. And hey, get rich over the weekend, folks.
Peace out.